Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Cast Iron Podcast, recorded on Thursday the 15th of December 2011. I'm Craig, and I'm joined again by Aidan and Nick. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi, yeah, really good, thanks.
Yeah, not too bad, thanks.
And here's a chance, it could be, Scunthorpe United are ahead, and the goal comes from Matt Sparrow, their longest serving player.
So, recent results. In the last 2 weeks, we've only had the one game, which was Carlisle at home last Saturday. The game ended in a 2-1 loss. We made a great start. How did everyone feel? Did everyone think after the first 4 minutes that we were set? We were going well? We were going to win it?
I think you've got to assume that when you take a lead and you look the brighter side, and it was a good goal, wasn't it?
It was a really taken goal, that.
Yeah.
The first 3 or 4 minutes, we were passing it around quite nicely. Bartram took his goal really nicely, and I'm thinking...
But then it was followed up by them going up the other end and hitting the woodwork 3 times in the space of 10, maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah, and Johnson saving one, and O'Connor clearing one for the line.
Yeah, but,
we haven't practiced defending corner. That. You know, we had 2 weeks off. What the hell did they do?
I have no idea. It was so frustrating having made that good start to then go and perform so badly for the vast majority of the remaining game.
Yeah. They were so lucky it took till when it did for them to equalise.
It was sort of poor first touches, it was poor passing, no one seemed to want the ball. Every time they had like a free kick or a throw-in, it was all really static and no one seemed to be moving, trying to find some space. And I don't know. Is it a confidence thing? I don't really understand.
I really do think it is. The thing is, though, you score early on, you expect the team to build and go forward and take on the goal and use it to their advantage sort of thing. They did look a bit confident after they scored. We looked a brighter side, and like we did the much. Then they had about 8 chances, and Scunny were like, oh, actually, crap, we've got to hang on to this a little bit. And the negative attitude to players is just awful. They don't want to pass the ball forward. They'd rather just tap it around and...
It became very negative very quickly, didn't it?
Do you think that comes down from the stands as well, though, that like the fans never really... I mean, after the goal, did everybody really get behind them, or was it still kind of really... It didn't...
It's tense, isn't it, though?
Never really got going for me.
We need to start winning. We know the fans know that the players are the problem. If you're at home, you're winning 1-0, but you know that the other side aren't bad and they're in the game... The players are tense. They're nervous about it. They know that, and that's looked nervous the whole game. We didn't look like a side who was doing well, which is true. But we didn't look like a side who had the quality either. They're a team that needs a big boost of confidence from somewhere. I don't know where they're going to get it from.
Well, this is my concern: is do you not think there's now a risk of further denting that confidence, conceding that goal so late on?
Yeah, definitely. I think
that.
That's
got to hurt, hasn't
that's
it?
That's sort of what relegates you. Definitely that. You think back to last season, we had a few moments like that. I can't think of the top of my head, but there's a few times you just thought, right, that's it, we're going down. And I thought that on Saturday, I thought, this is it, we are really in trouble.
The 93rd minute, and it was only really
going to we might have got away with it 1-1. We probably didn't really deserve a 1-1, but we were going to get away with it. And when that happened, the players, most of them just dropped to the floor. And
It was devastating. They do look like they care, which is...
They clearly care.
And they tried quite... I thought their effort was... You can't doubt their effort. I thought everyone played to, well enough to, like... They just haven't got the ability. That's a problem. They're not rubbish. They're just not as good as they think they are, and they don't work as a team. That's why it's not good enough.
Yeah, I think there's some teamwork, and I think
that's
a confidence is a big thing.
I think it does all go back to the manager, though. I really do think it does go back to the manager. You've got the players out there. We know some of them are good enough. They played Championship football last season. Mm. You would have thought they were better than 20th in League One. Something's going wrong somewhere. The gelling of the side, something like that, it's just not happening, is it?
What I don't understand, the thing that really, and judging from sort of comments on Twitter and so on afterwards, clearly I wasn't the only one to think this, given how badly the vast majority of that game went, why did we only make one substitution?
Yeah. It was suicidal, really.
Don't get me wrong, Ryan played really well when he came on. Yeah, I was really... That last 20 minutes...
Why didn't he take a gamble on one of the other strikers? Why?
Yeah.
You've got to question his judgment. I think Neil is... He has done it a few times this season where you think, what is he... Why? Just change it, mate. We all can see that you need to take Thompson off, bring Robinson on, bit of fresh blood up front, going to run around a bit, causing a bit more problems. But he thinks, because Thompson does two good things, he kicks on the defender, puts it round, and could have passed it to one of our players, Like, he did that twice, so Neil obviously...
Well, that's,
he's so
didn't
deep.
He got that flick on for the goal early on.
And that's all he did. And he, to be fair, he worked hard. But
you've got to think, when you've got Dagenham and Robertson on the bench, amongst other... You know,
I think Dagenham
was... only make one change, when clearly there's so many players out there that just weren't with it.
Dagenham obviously wasn't fit, I don't think. Otherwise, it must have started. I don't think... Well, unless
I thought that was a
viable option. But I think the Robinson one's odd. He's been... How many games did he play in reserves now? At least 3 games. And like we said last podcast, he was first choice striker at the beginning of the season. I don't know why it's gone wrong for him, but Neil wasn't willing to bring him on when we desperately needed a player that side.
Was the Jose on the bench or was
he wasn't.
He was
no.
on the bench, no. I don't know whether that was a fitness thing or a...
Probably got lost in his car or something on the way to the game. can't play football. No, I have actually heard something about he's got some personal problems at the moment or something
like that.
Yeah,
I think so, personal.
He was left out for that reason.
No, I just don't think he wouldn't have gotten the squad anyway, but I think we'll see what happens in January. It'll be very interesting.
Yeah, it was the biggest thing that concerned me was just across the team, the first touch particularly, but I mean the passing was quite poor, but first touch from most of the players, particularly Duffy, I have to say.
Oh, Mark Duffy's first.
Mark Duffy's first touch.
How is he
was appalling.
Oh God, it's been like that all season though, like Craig. Honestly, I've seen every game, and you think, how old is this lad played football for this many years and got away with it? His first touch, it bounces off his foot and goes.
When he had a bit of space so that he could get away with that first touch, he wasn't doing too badly. If anyone was even remotely close to him, his first touch was so bad that he'd get closed down or he'd be giving the ball away, and. It was just every time he touched the ball, the groans from everyone around me. What are you doing? And even from the time, there were people questioning, why is he not taking him off? And obviously, I mean, he went off with after 70 minutes to be replaced by Ryan, who then came on and did really well. But
he could have been Ryan on any earlier. To be fair, he's not even played a reserve game, nothing like that. He had to take a risk. He took a risk bringing Ryan on. And we all know Ryan's quality. He's the catalyst we need in that team, to be honest. That's what I think.
He was really unlucky not to score, wasn't he?
He should have scored. He lacks composure in front of goal. Against Newcastle, he had the same sort of chance and he missed. And I think that's one of a downside of his game. But he gets in position. He creates things. And
he looked a lot more up for it than a lot of the other players out there. And he only played 20 minutes. We saw a lot more from him.
He could be a big thing for us this season. Yeah. Him and Malika, they both get back fit and fighting.
Yes,
and
definitely.
they really will make a difference. We have missed them massively. I think Ryan... You can't underestimate how much we've missed him in that midfield. Especially when you've been playing bloody Duffy and loads of other great wingers who are rubbish and lightweight. I think Ryan will be a big influence on the team. I think he'll start on Saturday, won't he?
I think so. I would like to think so.
I'd hope so.
The midfield on Saturday, right? Michael O'Connor, great game defensively, cleared the ball off the line, won a few headers, came back, worked hard. But what was he offering in attack? Really, and him and Togwell
in the middle is quite a defensive core, isn't it?
Defensive, yeah.
Yeah, you can
see
that.
Very good defensively, but they're not going to offer you a lot going forward.
I just don't see what Togwell offers the side when you play like that. He's just a wasted figure in that midfield. He can pass the ball, he can run a little bit, he can chase people, he can tackle, but he doesn't do anything.
He's got a good work rate, doesn't he?
He works hard, but it's kind of
we've got the ball, what's he then going to offer us?
I really like how. I remember when he was in Championship and he was actually playing really good football and he actually looked like a really good player. But now he's just gone back to his old ways again. I think because he was playing like a good, better players, I think. Like Grant McCann, like that, maybe made him look a bit better. But
yeah, maybe so. Well, that's the thing. Then he was kind of a bit more of the defensive core, while there was a lot more offensive players alongside him in that four, wasn't there?
Yeah, but he also looked like the sort of player who could take chances and stuff, and he used to get forward a little bit. And he's gone back before. He's odd anyway. I think he will be leaving actually in the summer. I don't think he's a nil sort of player.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. I don't think he's a nil sort of player at all. I think Neil will sign Mazika. He'll sign another midfielder in League Two, obviously. but I don't see Togwell as being first choice. Not when everyone's fit.
I don't see him being first choice. But I would question him moving on. I think he might.
No, yeah, I just don't.
Him.
Well, Yeah, if he wants to stay, I think he would stay. But I think I can see him nil trying to get rid of him in the summer. Mm. Then it'd be a big club on. We realise that there's too many. There's a lot of deadwood in that side, and
there is. Yes, true. So the concern is that now drops us yet another place in the table. We're now 20th. We are one place, and more concerningly, 1 point above the bottom four. There are a grand total of 4 teams below us now in the table.
Woo!
Yeah, of which they are Walsall, Rochdale, Wickham and Chesterfield, respectively. Right now, that league table does not make for good reading, does it?
No.
It's worrying. And like we were saying, there only has to be one direction now, and it has to be upwards. I think if we carry on this slide much longer, we are seriously going to get tangled in that relegation.
You've got to start winning games at home against teams that aren't amazing. You know what I mean? They're decent. Like Carlisle, I don't think Carlisle are a bad team at all. I thought they played some nice football and they all looked dangerous on the break. And the manager made the right change at the time. He brought this big lad on up front to give him a bit more fit up front. And yes, they always looked decent, but they were the sort of game you could have easily won.
We could have won that game with a better performance. Certainly weren't unbeatable, were they?
No, but then that's the thing. We're not winning the games we have to win. And that's when you get concerned. If this Christmas we don't beat, say we get a point on Saturday, something, then we lose to Bury and Chesterfield, then you're in trouble. Because if you start losing to teams like around you and stuff, you're seriously you're going down, aren't you?
Yeah, coming up, we've got a few games of sort of teams around us, haven't we? We've got sort of obviously Bury not, but Exeter and Chesterfield, and yeah. There's a few games in the next sort of month or two. There are teams very much around us that we need to. So far this season, we've not done well at all. So teams bottom half, we've been really poorly. So we're going to have to start picking up and get the team motivated and start earning points against the teams that are around us at that lower half the table.
I think it's time to stand up and be counted to Scunthorpe United, because if you don't, we're going to be in League Two, and no one wants that. And these players are getting paid a lot of money. They're getting paid championship wages to be distinctly average in an average league, and we're not happy with it. They need to get their arses out and stop going to Christmas parties in Newcastle and stuff, and start training that football field. Learn how to pass the ball, attack, create space for each other, work for each other, and start winning, dickheads. I'm getting fed up with going away. I have to travel back from London every bloody game and watch that crap.
Yeah, it's bad enough travelling from
Sheffield. Well, the crowds are falling. People are losing interest, aren't they, really?
Yeah.
You got a question now, though. Like I said on Twitter on Saturday, I think it is time to question the management. You can be crap for so long, and then you've got to say, where is it going wrong? Is it because we've got a load of players who don't want to be there, and players that don't, who the manager doesn't want? But is it the manager's good enough? Yeah,
and they're in a better position than we are, but they're still underperforming by their standards.
Preston, Hartlepool, both sat the manager, both quite far above us in the league. Preston have got an extra 9 points. It's mad, isn't it? They're sacking managers, and we're going to hang on with ours. I think it's all right. I think at the moment, like I said, this 3 games is massive for Nil. I think you'll know that as well.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me at the moment is if we get rid of him, what do we do? Who comes in?
Yeah. Well, there's been talk laws, aren't they? Obviously.
Again, though. Is that the answer? Is that what we need again?
He would keep us up.
Yeah, but I mean, hasn't he kind of been there and done that? And we've got what we wanted out of laws.
You should never go back, should you? Really? No. Look at
we need a fresh approach if we're going to get rid of.
You thought Nil would do that?
I don't know.
I think there's something innately wrong with the football club at the moment, honestly. I really do. I don't think it's deep lying.
Yeah,
it's not,
there's a bigger problem.
Since
there,
Adkins left, because before it was one of the best, the sort of atmosphere, the spirit around the team, how the respect the players had for each other was high. And then since he's left, it's all gone. I don't know. The club doesn't seem the same. The entire club doesn't seem the same.
From the pitch to the stand of him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The entire club's changed.
Definitely. Can I just question Nil's tactics, by the way? I want to do that. He's very tactically naive. He likes to play 4-4-2. He's a tired formation. It's not recommend. the main coaches in Europe don't really play that anymore. They all play 4-3-3, play one up front with that. He continues to play it. He even though Carlisle were playing 4-3-3 and it was successful. They were playing on the break and they managed to get a bit of space and they created loads of chances, didn't they? They could have been, they had a lot of corners and they caused a lot of problems. He changed to 4-3-3 on the 70th minute when he brought Ryan on. He probably was too late. If he'd done it earlier, we could have probably come. When he put Bartram a bit further up the pitch, he actually looked dangerous. And then that's when Thompson was able to get round him and stuff. But he did it too late. And then I've got a question if he knows what he's doing on the football pitch. I think he's stubborn. 4-4.
Because I thought about using that formation a while back. Because when you look at the squad,
yeah,
the wealth of depth and quality we've got in midfield, surely a formation like that means we can get more of that onto the team.
I thought it was quite effective on Saturday. I know we looked a bit brighter. And I think that was with Bartram playing a bit further up the pitch is what he meant to play, as we said before. And Bobby Grant falling a bit deep in midfield. I thought it worked okay. Obviously, we didn't create much. Jimmy Ryan had a few chances and stuff. But it was better than what we had before. So
I would like to see us play that formation a bit more. I mean, what I would be interested to see is once we get Robertson fit, whether he could become that, because he's obviously a little, a little sort of taller and stronger, and whether he could become that sort of target man, if you like, at the point of that three.
With two fast forward wingers sort of playing off him sort of thing, like Bartram and Ryan.
Yeah, giving him width and getting in and around him when they can. And
I know what I thought about. So I thought Bobby Grant had a decent game. I know he gets a lot of stick, but he did okay.
He didn't do too bad.
If he plays like that, he'd get a lot of credit because at least he's working hard and he's trying to do stuff. He gets a lot of boos from the crowd, of course, because he's... I don't know why, but...
I don't understand the criticism that he gets because he's putting in... Again, he's another one where his work rate is exceptional.
He's not bad, is it?
He was making runs when most of the other team looked static. Everyone else who stood there watching the ball didn't really look interested, whereas he was at least trying to make runs and stuff.
He's such a raw player, isn't he? It's just like his first touch could be either awful or amazing. He's like shot. He's very raw and young.
He is still young.
Still scoring, isn't he? That's the thing. We've got to remember that. And I'd like to see him off the bench more often. I think he'd be a good option off the bench, as I said before. And I still agree with that. But he doesn't deserve all the criticism he gets, really.
No, certainly not.
But it's Scunthorpe who scored. Here's Chris Kamara.
Jeff, you're not going to believe this.
So, moving on. Next up. Upcoming fixtures, we have Exeter City away this coming Saturday, the 17th. This is one of those games we were just mentioning where they are two places above us in 18th. These are the games, you know, we're starting to get into that run of games now where it's teams in and around us for the most part. Their last game, they lost 3-0 away at Leighton Orient. This is a must win, isn't it? This is one of those, the first of those really big must win games now, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's a tough game, of course. It's away, and our away form's rubbish at the moment. But it's a winnable game. It is, and you could say that a lot this season, but it really is. And they need to. It's a massive game. It is. If we lose this, Exeter will be obviously getting further away, and then we'll probably go into the relegation zone on Saturday if we lose, because there's two teams on 17.
Yeah.
And if one of them picks up a point.
It's a winnable game, but not only is it that, it's a guaranteed win and you're moving up the table, because we're only 2 points behind them. So win and we're at least moving one place up the table.
You know what is concerning? The fact we are on 18 points in 20th, and the fact Alderman 16th have got 26 points, and we're already 8 points off them. And that's only 5 places in the table, which is pretty concerning. The table, I think we're already in a dogfight, already, aren't we, really, if you look at the table now.
You've got Yeovil, Exeter and Leighton Orient are still within.
Yeah, so that's what I mean.
Now it starts getting a little bit... I mean, you've then got a slew of teams that are all on 26.
Yeah, I'd like to be in that slew, I really would.
Yeah, if we start getting a few... It's one of these really irritating things. If we can get a run of results together, there's no reason we can't move at the table, because it's only really, like, you know... 4 points gets us up to, well, it gets us up a couple of places, but then you're right in and amongst
The thing is now, though, you have to get a run.
Because there are teams around us that are picking up points. Enough,
is it one or two wins? It's not. If you win in one or two games, the other teams around, you're still going to be further away because you move up a little bit and back down again. A run is required to probably...
It is. And the thing is, there's no reason we can't get on one because, like we've said, there are now a run of results. You know, there's a bunch of teams that are coming up now that are must-win games. You know, the games that we should be winning.
Yeah, especially with January being quite a tough month as well, and we've got a few difficult games. We've got to take advantage of this month where we can...
End of January is very difficult because we've got both Sheffield team.
Yeah. And
I don't know, the Wednesday game's just been postponed, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's been moved to that weekend. So yeah, there's two games, Sheffield in a row, isn't there?
Yeah, we've got Wednesday at home and then United away the following Saturday. So those two will be very tough. But yeah, you know, obviously we've got Exeter this weekend away. You know, they're only a couple of places and a couple of points above us. We've got Chesterfield in a couple of weeks. You know, they're in the relegation zone, you know, they're bottom of the table.
They had a heartbreaking result as well, didn't they, on Saturday, Chesterfield.
Hartlepool 13th, they're not, you know, they're one of those slower teams on 26 points.
We've beaten them in the season already, haven't we?
Yeah.
I know we've lost them in the league badly, but we've beaten
Colchester,
them.
Another one of the teams that are on 26 points. Then Stevenage, who...
We beat away.
Oh, good team, though.
Lost Stevenage. Oh, they're 29, so they're doing fairly well. So, you know, there's three, four games there, and that's ignoring, you know, Bury and the Sheffield teams, who, with the exception of away games at Hillsborough, we tend to do fairly well against Sheffield teams.
Yeah.
Thankfully, as a Scunthorpe fan that lives in Sheffield.
Yeah. I think it could be a bit tougher this year.
Yes, definitely.
It really is a time to stand up and be counted, though, isn't it? If they want to stay at this club, if they don't start performing soon, Neil's going to have to change things in January again. Cause
that's it. By the end of January, depending on how that run goes, we're either going to be in amongst mid-table, potentially.
Or really in the thick at the bottom.
Really in the shit.
Yeah.
Properly, bottom four, staring at relegation. I think if we wait for the rest of the season.
Going to bottom four, we're unlikely to get back out, aren't we, really? Unless we... The confidence is just sapping every week.
I think that's it. It's not just we need to pick up some wins. We need to pick up some wins, good wins. We need a run of wins to get some confidence back into the team, don't we?
Yeah. Because they do. They have, when they played beginning of the season, they looked a good team and played nice football. They just didn't get that win. And that just really knocked them back a bit, I think. I don't know. If we'd have picked up a win, like in the first game of the season, when we had a goal disallowed in the last minute when Dagnall scored...
Yeah.
Maybe our whole season could be a little bit different.
There's a few little things. I mean, even Saturday, you know, 93rd minute, we concede the losing goal.
We were still playing badly, weren't we?
Yes, we were playing badly. But if we hang on to a draw there, you're getting a point out of a game where you've not played well.
Yeah. You know, but I don't think that would help the confidence, though. They just looked down the way, didn't they?
But the Notts County game, they played a lot better. There was,
that's
from what
well.
People said, there was more confidence. And then...
So we follow that up with Bury... at home on Boxing Day, so that's the Monday the 26th, they are 9 places and 8 points above us in 11th. My main concern, as we've already sort of hinted at, is this is Neil's old club, which surely has to add a bit of motivation, if they needed it, a bit more motivation for them to come and beat us, to turn over the team that Neil left them for.
They're going to be up for it, aren't they? The other fans are going to love it if they beat them, and it's sort of result that could end his... Like, he could get sacked after that game if we lose. If we lose on Saturday and lose again on Saturday, on the Boxing Day, we all know that we're in the shit, and they would love that. They would love that so much if they could sack him, get him sacked for... So they're going to be up for it, aren't they?
Massively.
It has done all season, but I've always been thinking about Boxing Day.
Particularly the home, you know, this one, the home one, when they're coming to us, if they come to us and turn us over, they're going to...
Since the fixtures came out, they've been waiting for that game. And Bury fans, Twitter, all been going on about that game for a long, long time. So
you've got to treat it as a normal game if you're a Scunny player, though.
I think we need to push that aside, don't they? The players and Neil just need to sort of forget who it is. We need to get back to playing... well ourselves and trust that the results will come. Obviously for Bury, their players and their, you know, their team talks easy. It's like motivation is not going to be a problem for them at all, is it? It's how Nil gets our guys up for it.
It's gonna be a tough game.
It's very tough.
They were a good team, and we'll have to see how much turkey they've eaten.
Yeah, hopefully they overdo it. So, predictions for the Exeter game first, Aidan. What are you predicting for Exeter?
I'm going to go 2-1 defeat.
2-1 defeat?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. We're positive.
Well, I know I'm jinxing it probably now, but I think actually we're going to win that one. I think we're going to win it 1-0. I think it's not going to be a pretty game. It's not going to be a particularly good game, but I think we're going to win it 1-0.
I'd take that.
Yeah.
I'll happily take that.
What do you think, Nick?
I hate to be negative too, but I'm going to go for a 1-0 defeat, I'm afraid. I know we have to win this game and we have to get at least a point out of it, but the way they're playing, I just honestly can't see it at the minute. I really hope I'm wrong, though. Really hope I'm wrong.
You got to think with people like if Jimmy Ryan starts, he might start Robinson. And
this is what I'm hoping. I think maybe there's one or two that we'll could come in back to start for that one.
And it's all the way Exeter, so there'll probably be hardly any fans. So what's the bet? And they probably will put in their best performance of the season, and it's not seen by like 20 Scunthorpe fans.
I read earlier we've sold 100 tickets.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Good.
Is better than I expected, actually. Given
that's actually better.
Given the Carlisle game.
It's 3 hours from London, not 2.5 hours. So I'm not even going to bother. So it's a long way.
It is a long way to go, and based on how they've been performing, I'm impressed they've managed to sell 100 tickets.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. Not cheap.
So, Nick, what are you thinking for the Bury game?
Ooh, I'm going to go for a draw here. 2-2.
2-2. Aidan?
I was thinking the same, actually. A festive cracker.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good game between both.
I think it'll be a good game.
There'll be goals for both sides, definitely.
As we can't defend, there'll definitely be goals, Nick.
Well, now it's my turn to be negative, because I think that one's going to be too tough, and they're going to be up for it more, and I think we're going to lose that one 2-1. I don't like this. That's a lot of negativity in those predictions.
That was better than being positive.
Given the way we've been predicting.
I'm sure people would rather we're wrong this
week.
Yes,
definitely.
We do apologise for predictions making us lose.
Turn it around now. We're going to keep predicting that we're going to lose now.
And then we probably will.
Yeah, we probably will. So, news and views. First up, we announced in the last couple of days, actually, that we've extended the loan for Manchester United goalkeeper Sam Johnstone. He's now on loan for another month, so we've got him until January the 10th, which, I guess can only be good news. What do you guys make of Johnstone so far in extending that loan?
He's done nothing wrong, really. He's a good goalie.
He made a good save. He flapped a bit. He was flapping crosses and...
He didn't look commanding, did he?
Saturday, which was a bit.
I think I've seen our centre backs not getting commanding either. They were very young, weren't they, centre backs on Saturday? I think the whole defence, the goalkeeper, the two centre backs, both are really young. I don't think that helped at all with that the concentration and stuff like that. I don't think Johnson's been a bad player at all. I can see him playing higher. I can see him playing a lot higher. Probably not Man United, but higher than where he's at.
Would you rather have him or Slocum in goal?
I'd rather have Lillis.
Yeah,
I'd rather have Lillis.
I think we all would,
I'd rather
if the two Sams were going to have to stick with Johnstone.
Yeah, I think so. I think
I don't know, actually. Because I think Slocum actually looked decent in the air the other day when I saw him.
He's growing in stature, definitely, Slocum.
He's growing into it, yeah. And I think if Johnstone weren't here, he'd have got more games. Well,
and we lost them all anyway.
That might just have given him that extra bit. But I think... just as things are now, I'd keep going with Johnstone.
Yeah, well, Johnstone's had a setback, didn't he, in his recovery, which is a shame.
Mm.
So, Johnstone's here till Jan.
January the 10th, we've got him until now, assuming we don't extend it further and before
that. I'm sure that'll be fine. And hopefully, we've all got Slocum fallback, haven't we? So.
Yeah. So, the other loan player that we've got from Manchester United, Norwood, is the bigger concern. We've got him until January, but then it sounds... I was reading an article on Sky Sports the other day, and it sounds pretty likely that he's looking for a move to a championship club from in January. So I can't see him being with us from January onwards. In fact, he was saying that in that interview, he was saying that Fergie had wanted him to go to a championship club originally back in the summer. And it was only when Neil came in for him that actually Fergie said, sort of pulled Norwood aside and said, actually, I think you should go there because this, you know, he will be good for you and he'll play you.
Yeah, I read that as well. I think if he can get a championship club, he'll be gone. If he can't, which is possible, he's not been outstanding for Scunny, and he's in the poor side. He'll be still here, I think. It all depends. He will keep saying, "Oh, I'll stay with Scunny." But then if someone comes in for him, he's obviously going to move, isn't he? That's it. So
can you do that though? If he stays, if he stays with us, can
well he can wait
a better until... offer? Can Man United recall him from our loan and then ship him out on another one?
Yeah, I think so.
Can they?
Yeah, that's happened with other players, hasn't it?
I'm not sure about that. It just depends on the clause in the contract, sort of thing. But you can see it. He's on till middle of Jan now, is it, or like beginning of Jan?
Yeah, I think it's around sort of 7th to the 10th, somewhere around there. So, it comes out.
So that gives him a little bit of time to market himself with his agent and stuff. That's what he was doing. That's what he's doing with his interview. He says he's kind of get a championship, come and get me plea. I'm available for a loan for a full season.
Yeah, well, that's it. The Sky article said that there were a number of championship teams that were interested. So it sounds like there are.
But if they are, he'll be gone. I don't think he'll be that big a loss because he's not playing at the moment. I know he's suspended, but even when he. Yeah. He's...
Well, that's it. You would think by January, we should have. Obviously, Ryan's just coming back now, and Mazika's not that far away, you would think. And
he'd be on the bench, wouldn't he?
So, yeah, those kind of players coming back in, is Norwood going to be holding down a place in the first team anyway? Given that you've also. So you've got those. You've got those two. You've got O'Connor. You've got Togwell. You know, there's options there.
Even prior to his red card, though, he didn't even have a run of games, did he? Particularly, no. He's off the bench quite a lot of the time.
Yeah, he did play against Wimbledon. I don't think he played. You know what I mean?
He's done well enough, and I think I wouldn't be upset if we keep him. But at the same time, I wouldn't be massively worried if he does go.
No, I just got. From Carl, who says his predictions are 0-0 Exeter, 1-0 versus Bury. He's very positive.
So he means two clean sheets. Is he smoking something?
He must be. He's mad. Two clean sheets against.
Two clean sheets.
In a row.
I can't believe he predicted to win.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, he predicted 1-0 win against Carlisle as well. So that would have been if he'd have been right. That's three clean sheets in a row. He's predicted. He's clearly not been to watch us recently, has he?
He's taking pictures of people drinking. Maybe he's been joining in.
Maybe he's just spending a bit too much time looking through his camera and not enough time watching the game.
Probably.
So the other interesting article that the official website has published up in the last couple of days, they've posted feedback from the recent survey they did, or the questionnaire that they did online, about the ticketing system, asking for feedback from fans. And there were some really interesting points made by fans and comments in response to those. And I wanted to get your feelings on some of those. I've picked out a few of them. Apparently quite a few people passed comment about poor customer service from the ticketing team. I can't say I've... it was certain, well, not on the phones anyway. I can't say I tend to use the ticket window in person all that often. I tend to ring and book my tickets on the phone. But apparently people have complained and the ticketing staff are going to be sent on or are being sent on an NVQ course in customer service, which I thought was an interesting move.
Yeah, I saw that. That also means they admitted they are actually rubbish at the moment.
Well,
the sort of thing you do when you're having...
Have you ever had any problems with poor customer service from the ticket team?
I haven't personally, no. I've always found them to be quite effective. And
no, that's it. When I've phoned them up anyway... To get tickets, they've always been really helpful and really friendly, and I've never had a problem.
I've never had a problem with them in person or on the phone. It's just the online system that I've ever had problems with.
That's the next
ticketing.
That was the next point that apparently quite a lot of people raised was the ability to, the ability to pick your seats online, which I would love. If I could have one thing improved with that system, it would be add that.
Yeah.
It would be amazing, but unfortunately no. They have said they would like to add it, but it's currently not possible with the provider that is used for the online ticketing. To quote, however, things may change in future. I've got to say, I'm not holding my breath.
That's why I read it all and thought, right, they're obviously going to get rid of this company. They're obviously not happy what they're providing. And
it's,
if you read
it's
quite an
system.
Is it awful? Is
it's really poor. I mean, I never use it. I ring them up because it's...
You can't use it if you want, because otherwise you just get dumped wherever in the stadium, in whichever stand you want to be in.
You pick your stand and that's it. So you can't
and that's it. That's all you can pick.
If I use it, even though, generally when I go, I'm going with my mother, and both she and I are Iron members. I can log in using my members' details now. It took me months to get that working. I eventually had to ring them up and get them to sort of walk me through on, sorting it out, because they just wouldn't take my details at all. I can now get on, but I can't add my mother's details to my account to buy her a ticket. So I still end up having to phone them up anyway, which I would still do, because I can't pick my seats and I want, I want to be able to at least have a little say.
It's supposed to be a method of convenience by having online ticketing, and I find it's anything but that, really.
It's a terrible system. I mean, I generally, if I can get out of having to ring people, I will do, because I'm not a big fan of having to use the phone. But right now,
it gives you no choice. You've
got to ring them up, because
if you want to buy more than one ticket, then you can't.
Dire.
If you want to sit next to them, otherwise you have to buy one ticket for one and one ticket for them, and it ends up wherever.
It's poor. So the next one, which I found really interesting and really pleasing to read, actually, was people had made comment about there being long queues for tickets on match days. Which, again, I don't use the ticketing office much, but the main reason I don't do that is because I'm not a fan of queuing, and there are quite often queues on match day. If you turn up at any time after 2 o'clock, really, and you're going to be stood in a queue for a while waiting to get a ticket. Pleasingly, they have said they are doing or have done something about that. They've got rid of that white booth that used to be for collecting tickets for the Grove Wharf stand. That has now gone, and there is now a new secondary ticket office on that corner where that white booth used to be, built into the stand. There is now a second office there where you can not only collect tickets for the Grove Wharf stand, but you can now purchase Grove Wharf tickets from that booth as well. So if you're wanting to get into the Grove Wharf stand, you can now go to that window rather than the main ticket window and buy tickets from there. Which I think is a brilliant idea, and should hopefully mean that both booths now should be a lot shorter queues and more...
It's certainly helpful, because the queues at the main office is ridiculous. And say you turn up, for whatever reason, quite late to a game, and you've got to run all the way around to the side to get your ticket from the main stand, and then run all the way back to the Grove Wharf to get in again.
Yeah, I think of all the things that I read, that one, I was like, oh, brilliant, I'm really pleased to read that. Because obviously, the game on Saturday, I noticed the booth was gone and there was a window now, because we went and collected our tickets from there, because we were in Grove Wharf on Saturday for Carlisle game. So I collected my tickets from there. But I just figured that they'd literally just got rid of the booth and put a window there, but it wasn't going to change. So when I read I don't know when that's going to start, but yeah, you're going to be able to purchase tickets from that window, and I think that's a brilliant move.
That's got to be
very
a good
clever
thing.
Yeah.
It's such a simple thing to do as well, but very useful. So the next thing, which, again, I was quite interested to read the response to this. Fans have asked for the ability to be able to pay on the turnstiles. So turn up without a ticket and just pay on the gate as you go in. Quite an interesting way that they responded to that one, actually. The short version is that it's not really possible for a number of reasons. I'll read you what they said. It has been expressed by a significant amount of fans that they wish to pay on the turnstiles for all games. With our current season ticket and Iron membership packages, it is not possible at this time to make all fixtures pay on the turnstiles. This is because, for a number of reasons, members receiving a discount on their tickets and cash turnstiles would not be compatible, as cash management would be compromised. So basically what they're saying there is, because they give discount to Iron members and season tickets, it'd be Iron members, really. Season tickets can get in with a season ticket. Iron members, obviously, they get a discount. It would make tracking the money, if you were able to pay on the gate, it would make that quite complicated to deal with. And also, if they would have to put some sort of system in place where once they've sold you a ticket, they'd have to sell you a ticket for a seat, and then that seat would have to be marked as being unavailable. So it becomes quite tricky to do. With they've also said without season ticket holders' seats being marked or labelled, seat allocation would also not be realistic and cause issues on a match day. So they've basically ruled out that's not going to work as things stand. The interesting bit for me was they've said they're also currently being discussed the possibility of opening up the Grove Wharf overspill corner that currently generally is allocated for away fans. They're talking about making that an allocated specifically as pay on the turnstile seating. So if you want to turn up and pay on the gate, you can, and you'll be somewhere in that bit there, which I think is quite an interesting idea. So having a specific part of the stand solely for paying on the gate.
It is, especially given that that's been a bone of contention amongst fans for a long time, that they've lost the corner, and it did attract quite a vociferous support. The young, more a lot of the teenagers like to go in there, for example, and that could be quite a good thing.
Yeah, when you think that the other corner, so in the Telegraph stand, the corner nearest the away fans,
it's the family,
it's the family end. So you're not going to get a massive amount of noise from there. So it's a bit too easy, you know. But the away fans aren't going to get any kind of noise coming from us, apart from when, really, from when the standing end properly gets going. Whereas if you've got fans turning up and paying on the gate and going in, and we're actually getting some fans into that corner there, you would hope.
It's got to generate a better atmosphere, hasn't it?
To us, isn't it? So I think that's a really interesting move. I'd quite like to see that happen. It's another option, isn't it? If people can just turn up and pay on the gate. So yeah, I think that was an interesting one to read. One of the others, which again was quite interesting to see, the current ticketing phone line is an 0871 number, which a number of people complained about. Obviously, that costs more. They are looking to change that to a normal local rate standard number. So
I didn't think they could, though, because obviously it has the queuing system, and I thought that's only done on the premium numbers.
So did I, but apparently they are looking into the possibility of changing that.
Because, yeah, if you get stuck in the queue and you're, I mean, sometimes you can be called two or three, and you're still, if you actually, you could be in that queue for 20, 30 minutes on, if it was for a popular game, for example.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I must admit, I've been particularly lucky. I don't think I've ever really been queued more than a couple of minutes. I've never really been stuck in a queue on there, but obviously...
I have been before, and yeah. You answer, and they say, you are caller 8 or whatever, and I've just put the phone down because you just know you're not going to get answered anytime soon, and tried to call back later. So yeah, it would be good if they could change it back to a local number. I'm not sure how that would work, though, without it going back to the old method of just having a certain number of people picking up the phones, really.
Yeah, no, I'd be interested to see how that works, but it's apparently something they're looking at.
It's nice that they're taking on board things like that, because you'd think that would be something that you'd be like, oh no, we can't do that, it's a premium rate number, and obviously it makes a lot of money.
Yeah,
but they have actually said that they'll
just
consider
it. No, tough luck, hard business, that's the way it's staying.
They're trying to find any way that they make people buy more tickets, aren't they? Then that's one option.
Yeah.
If they think people are not buying tickets because of that, that's the reason they'll change it. It's what they're not making money out of, they're just losing fans.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
That's true. And like offering up pay on the day tickets in some ways, because again, people said that they don't bother because they don't have time to buy a ticket, or they don't have a chance to go down.
Yeah,
down and
just
get
turn
a ticket or whatever.
Turn up and
And yeah, you can make a decision on the day and get a few more fans in that way.
That's it. It makes it a lot more accessible. They can turn up and pay on the gate and be in that corner.
Yeah.
Or hopefully, the fact that they've now got that second ticket window should mean that the queues.
Yeah, I can't think of a game recently, but in the past there's been games when like people have been like, oh, I considered taking down my family, but then found that I couldn't because it was all ticket allocated. And
yeah,
they lose out on that sort of floating custom.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So the last one that really sort of jumped out at me, less on a, oh yes, I'd like to see that, but more in a, really, people asked for that, was an access control system built into the turnstiles. Really?
Mm.
I was completely unsurprised to read their response, which was, while the club would like nothing more but to install an access control system in the turnstiles, however, at a minimum cost of £50,000, it's just not justifiable cost for the club in its current position. did anyone really expect that Scunthorpe United would have an automated access control system on the turnstiles? Really? Really?
I can't believe that people suggested that, to be honest.
You don't actually don't get...
Well, yeah, exactly. No.
Very true.
But really?
But how many away games do we go to? Like, top clubs still haven't... don't have an automated system, do they?
Yeah.
No, that's it. I think the only game that I can... I mean, I granted I don't get to many games, but the only game that I can think of that I've been to that had that was Manchester City in
Manchester
the Cup.
Manchester City, yeah.
Manchester, Wembley...
Did Wembley?
Leeds have it.
Sheffield United, maybe?
Did Wembley?
Yeah, Wembley has it. Wembley
Yeah, I'm just thinking, because there were people there, but they were just...
Yeah.
That you weren't. I thought Sheffield United did as well. I seem to remember the guy in front of me was bamboozled by it.
Possibly so. I've not been to Bramall Lane. I've been to Hillsborough twice, but never...
Yeah, I think Sheffield United has it. But it's not many in our sort of position, so, League 1, League 2.
And even then, Sheffield United have a hell of a lot bigger stadium and a hell of a lot more resources to throw around than... And let's not forget, we're in the Premier League not that long ago.
Not long at all.
It'd be very nice to have, but I can't see it happening. But that will make me chuckle.
Definitely.
There's not really a problem with how it is at the minute. I mean, the ticket guys do their job efficiently. I mean, the queue's built up on Saturday at Grove Wharf, and definitely. I don't know if that was the £10 offer.
They didn't have the turnstiles open.
No, there was only when we turned up at, what was it, 2:15, I think, that we got there. There was only the one gate open.
Yeah, same.
Right, yeah, they hadn't opened one.
Yeah. I think the person covering the gate must have phoned in sick or something.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, it was still, even then, anyway, it wasn't exactly a massive queue.
It
was bigger than normal, we weren't walking straight in, which is what we normally get, but yeah, it was, it wasn't horrendous. We were stood there for maybe a couple of minutes, but that was it. So if there's anything that you would like us to discuss here, if there's a discussion topic or a question that you would like us to answer, you can send them to us via email at castironpodcast@gmail.com. Send them in and we'll include them, answer your questions or discuss topics that you suggest. Send them in. So don't forget, on the ironsupplement.co.uk right now, we're running a poll on the website for asking our members what do the Iron need to bring in most in the January window. So the options, obviously, goalkeeper, central defender, left or right back, central midfielder, winger or a striker, or none. The squad are good enough / wait for the summer window. So far, the voting, we've got 33% say central defender, 33% on winger, and 33% say striker. So an actually interesting spread of results.
We know the answer to it, really. We need anything that will help
anybody.
Yes, I probably should have added an extra option, which was an entire new squad, but
I would have voted.
I suspected that might have won.
Yeah, definitely.
But yes, get yourselves to the website, get your votes in. If you're not registered already, do so. Get involved on the forums. Get yourselves on there, discuss what's happening, how do we turn this around, how do Scunthorpe get back moving up the table to where we want and deserve, well maybe not deserve, but ought to be. The next episode of Cast Iron, episode 6, will be available on Friday the 30th of December. You can subscribe via the feed links on the podcast website, which is castironpodcast.podomatic.com. or via the ironsupplement.co.uk. And don't forget, you can also subscribe on iTunes. Details on how to subscribe are all found on the website. And that's it for another episode. Thank you to Nick and to Aidan for joining me again.
Yep. Have a nice Christmas, everyone.
Yes, Merry Christmas to both of you and to all of Scunthorpe fans. And hopefully, obviously, the next one will be on the 30th, so we can talk about our hopes.
We have a more positive outlook.
2012 will be a much better year.
We can do a review of 2011, which I'm sure will be delightful. Oh. A great year.
That'll make for an interesting episode.
How many wins have we had this year?
So yes, listen in next time for a review of this the 2011 and a look ahead to
memorable season.
Yes.
Memorable for some bad reason.
Memorable year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes, I'll speak to you in 2 weeks' time. Merry Christmas to both of you and to all Scunthorpe fans and players and staff, of course. And speak to you in 2 weeks' time.
Yep.
Up the iron. Merry Christmas.
Up the iron. Up the iron. I am not it.